Hey, everybody. Welcome to another bonus episode of TFG Radio. This time we have Tony Myers from Hammerhead Games. Say hello, Tony.
Hey, everybody. Hello.
For those that don't remember, we have had him on before, last year, actually. So we're having him on again to give us an update of what's been going on and some other things that have been going down, especially with recent events. So if you want to hear more about Tony's backstory and such, you can check out our episode with Tony from last year. I don't have the episode number off the top of my head, so because I'm totally prepared. But since last we talked to you, Tony, or last I talked to you, it's been very busy. For those that don't know, Tony sponsors every tournament and every podcast, YouTube, Twitch, everything 40K related, at least as far as I know, or it seems like it.
Yeah, I mean, that we do the best we can. I mean, we're not in touch with everybody, and we aren't exactly, you know, just touching every single event. I mean, there's thousands and thousands, but at the same time, you know, we're always doing our best to, you know, support as many of those as possible, because, you know, that's what drives the community and gets everybody out there. And, you know, so if you have an event or will when this is all over, then let us know and we can figure that out. You know, we always try to do as much as we can. So
I know that you make tokens and stuff for other game systems, and I don't play too many other game systems nowadays, but do you sponsor and go to other events also?
Yeah, there's a lot of events that kind of have a lot of different games going at the same time, especially some of the larger ones. They'll have, you know, it's most events will have like 40K or Age of Sigmar is kind of like their core game that draws in, you know, the main part of the event. But then they'll have, you know, Bolt Action or X-Wing or all these other games, you know, on the side, mostly. I mean, they do have their own events as well. But, yeah, I mean, we're pretty open-minded on that. And even if we don't make something for that specific game, it doesn't mean that we don't want to. It just means that, you know, I don't play everything as much as I wish I could just play games all day. And so because of that, I don't want to, you know, guess as to what those products could be. Right. So a lot of times we'll be contacted by somebody that plays a, you know, a more obscure game and like, hey, can you make this? And I mean, half of what we do is custom orders. So, you know, once we make something custom for that game, we look into it some further and double check that it's not just some oddball request and make sure that, you know, it's something like that. But, then we start producing products for that game as well. And, you know, so we do have some pretty small, you know, nice, but smaller games that are on there as well. So,
yeah. Cause if you go to their website, like I'm looking at it right now, I see, you know, all the 40K, 30K. I also see X-Wing, War Machine, Wings of Glory.
Yeah. Wings of Glory is like a super small game, but it's like really fun. It's just, I mean, it's basically just like this like prop airplane from like Red Baron kind of thing. And they're just flying around shooting each other. So somebody requested a special template that helps them play that game. And then I, of course, looked into it. I actually did play that game for a little bit just because of, the, you know, I found out what it was. And,
right.
So yeah, we made something for that. And,
yeah, cause there's also like Game of Thrones, Infinity, Gaslands, all the good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to do as many as we can. Some of them admittedly aren't as well updated as possible. Cause like I said, I don't play them. So I found out through the grapevine that a couple of them need an update for like the newest version of the rules, but, we're working on that.
You know, I know Gaslands just recently had a new version and.
Yeah. We're fully up to date on Gaslands. Gaslands is actually one of the better, like, that's a really popular game right now. If you don't know about it, you probably should. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we have a before everything happened, we had there's a weekly Gaslands group that plays at the store.
Cool. Yeah, it's a pretty great game. You get a $2 Hot Wheel and you put some 40K guns on the side of it and go Mad Max and shoot each other with it. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of third party and 3D printing in Thingiverse for stuff to add to your Hot Wheels cars for Gaslands.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and we're like an official friend. They call it a Friends of Gaslands distributor. So, okay. I'm sorry, manufacturer. So basically, we're like authorized to make stuff as a third party, like templates and tokens and stuff for that game. And we're listed on their website and everything. And I call it a sale, but technically it's not. We've been going on for for a long time now is basically whenever they order a Gasoline set, we actually send them out a brand new Hot Wheel car with it, like picked at random. So you get templates and a car.
So other than that, we talked a little about before we started recording. Do you want to quickly or in depth, if you want, go over what's been happening with the Hammerhead Games since we last spoke?
Well, it's been almost a year, so there's been quite a lot going on. I mean, we traveled and went to a bunch of different events last year. Those are always a ton of fun. I'm looking forward to getting back at that whenever that can happen. And, you know, we've released a few products. Probably the big trend right now has been we kind of revisited some of our original products, like the command point trackers and the wound dials and things like that. And we've made smaller versions of those and more compact. Some of them even been able to go higher numbers on some of the wound dials just for their size and things like that as we've gotten better at what we're doing. And so we've done that. So we have like originally we had like 1 through 10 wound dials that were roughly about the size of a 25 or 30 mil base. And now those go to like 1 through 18 on the same size. So that's been cool. We did a CP tracker light, which is basically, you know, it's just a smaller, more compact version that fits easier in like a dice bag and things like that. So that was a cool little upgrade. And then the big one last year, right before LVO, we released our new terrain line. And that's just been really, really good. Basically for normally, I believe it's 130, you get for including shipping in the continental United States, you get an entire, box full of terrain. So, it's all like laser cut ruins and cargo containers and things like that. So it's a really affordable, cheap way to get an entire table with the terrain. And that's kind of been our big release, and it's been crazy popular. So it's been good. And we also have, you know, retailer and TO support for events and things like that. So when it comes to like wanting to get the terrain to fill out their tables, we can work something out, and we have a program for that. So
for the,
we
do that. For the terrain, is it just the one design so far?
We have the one design right now. That was our initial release. We're really close to finishing another couple designs that are on the way. Things have been a little chaotic, so of course that's had a little bit of delays from what we wanted to. The original plan was basically bring that original design out to LVO, and then within a month drop another one, and then have this kind of be the year of terrain as we progress throughout the year. But you know, life and everything. But we're working on that, so I think we're really close to having our second style, and the third right after that. They're both very close. We're just trying to finish them up. So, and then from there, we're also going, like right now, you can buy the terrain as a whole set. And then we have a couple items like cargo crates and barricades that you can buy separately. But like within the next week, we're going to have all of the buildings from the original set that you can buy separately going forward. So if you want to like add to it, or if you want to like, if you already have some terrain and you want to just kind of fill in the gaps or just have some variety, we'll be able to do that as well.
Yeah, I noticed some of the other because I have different terrain from different companies.
Sure.
Some are a little light, some are a little heavy, so I know there's – and some are hard to match. You know, I have some that when I put them together, they don't look very aesthetically the same.
They're not like flawed. They don't make sense like from a narrative or like.
Some people like the. The L's, I personally am not a fan of the L's in terms of how they look, not their function.
Completely agree. Yeah.
But more of how they look. So just seeing L's there kind of just like hits a nerve with me. So I try to make my tables with what I have to work with. Obviously I work through the store when I help with their tournaments. I just have to work with what they have, more or less.
We specifically at least initially have avoided the L shapes, not because we disagree with like how they operate. I mean, from a gameplay standpoint, you know, they're very effective, but when it comes to like, we wanted to have this first initial release, at least be a table that can be used by both competitive and narrative players, get you a good value, be a great set for like at the house. So, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, what kind of gamer or what kind of friends are, you know, coming over to play. You'll be able to just throw this out there and do it. And then, like you talked about before, with the, in terms of like, some of them are a little light or some of them are a little heavy. And then there's different details when it comes to like how detailed or how intricate the sets can be.
Yeah.
We really wanted to like have that ease of not only like putting them together, but also still have some good details and not just be two pieces of MDF, you know, glued together. So I worked on it for quite a bit, you know, time. We could have released a little bit sooner if we were less picky, but, yeah, I worked on it for a while in terms of like trying to hit the price point while also trying to, have it be easy to put together and, you know, just kind of have a check all the boxes without going overboard in any of them. So,
yeah.
You know, there are other options that, they just have different strengths or weaknesses depending on where you look. And we kind of went for like the overall, hit all the boxes kind of thing.
Yeah, so far what I saw, because I think you got a bit of a preview at Lottafest earlier last year. Right?
Yeah, that was kind of like a little bit of a testing ground.
Yeah.
So basically what we did is we were able to get, if I remember right, I believe it was either 15 or 20 of the tables had like the prototype version of the terrain. And we altered it a little bit since that, but based on a little bit of feedback, but not too much. I mean, that was pretty dead on with what ended up doing.
Yeah, I didn't see too many complaints about the tables.
Yeah, we didn't really have any complaints. Like, one of the things that we added was at Slaughterfest, we didn't have the, we have what they're, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe them, but basically they're like brick pieces that are cut out and they go and they cover up the little slots for how MDF terrain fits together.
Right.
So it just, it covers that up, gives a nice little look
corner,
to it.
The corner pieces, you mean?
Yeah, so like, you know how like if you put a building, there's like the floor space that fits through the wall?
Yeah.
It actually is like a strip of bricks that goes and covers that entire strip along it. And so we added that detail, which was, just a good way to like kind of have it look good while also, you know, still, you know, not being like crazy expensive more with like more materials and things like that. So.
No, that makes sense.
That was like the main big difference, I think, is what we added.
Oh, okay.
So
you said you had two other sets in the works. Are they more similar in style to what you already have, or are they completely like?
We're going to have a couple pieces that are going to be either optional or like on the same styling in terms of like kind of like the generic Imperial City kind of thing. But we do like I don't want to like say it because like, then of course I'm going to be locked into like this has to happen. But but like the plan is by the end of the year for us to have, you know, like an Orcs and Necrons and Tau and Eldar and, you know, and do all those. So and Chaos and everything. So like we're looking at a lot of different terrain designs when it comes to like different factions and different stylings and hitting a little bit more than just the, you know, the Space Marines can't have everything kind of thing. So yeah, that's where we're going with that. So it's just going to be a little bit of a battle of like which one's finished first. I'm trying to get them out as fast as possible.
Right.
You know, while balancing everything out. So
I'm assuming there's going to be a big demand in the next few months.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, even from like organizing an event myself, I'm like a little bit worried about that. Like there's been so many events that have been postponed and delayed for, you know, the reasons that are. And I'm sure once things open back up, it's just going to be a flood of availability and, you know, events looking for ways to get, you know, make up for the lost time kind of thing. And which is both, you know, both good and bad. You know, I'm just, hopefully things don't just start stepping on each other in terms of like, there'll be like five GTs on the same weekend, all within a 5-mile radius. Or,
well, that was an issue. That's almost an issue before this whole thing started.
Right.
So since we you talked a little about that, we'll transition over to that in regards. So you decided what made you, so you're doing Shark Weekend, which is the last weekend in August.
Yeah. It's August 29th and 30th.
Yeah.
So we're, fingers crossed.
What was the impetus to do that?
Well, I've grown up in Sacramento my whole life and it's been my hometown. It's just where I've always wanted to do something. And while we do have some cool events, we've never had a major. We have had some nice sized GTs. We've been close to, I guess there might have been one of like 5 or 10 years ago that was probably would be considered a very borderline major now.
Okay.
But long story short, it's just not something that's been available where we're at in our area. And so it's kind of something that's always been in the back of my mind I wanted to do. And it just seemed like the right time to pull the trigger and do what I could to run a good event. And I got some practice with helping other events run theirs. And,
right.
So it just, we have access to the terrain and the mats and the tables, and we got a really cool spot. And so I kind of learned things from not only being a player from where, you know, going to events, but also helping host some, and just wanted to kind of like put my own spin on it and take all of that and put it together and try to make it awesome. And so yeah, that's how the idea started, and I've just been running with it up until all the craziness. Like, I wish it was August already. I wish it was August already. Cause I started really early in the planning process and promoting and all that. Mostly because it's the initial one, and you know, I don't want to rush anything on that, but, we're sitting at, I believe last count was roughly 50 players signed up. So, we haven't had any drops or cancellations. And everything's on track. The plan is we're going to have a 80 person 40K major. And then I believe it's 20-something, maybe 30 for H Sigmar for a GT there. And then that'll be our initial. Oh, we also have a night joust on Saturday night, which is kind of a fun little way to do it. We have our own little spin on how we're doing that as well, but that's just like a cool little extra event.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that... because we're the facility that we're in, it's a 24/7 bowling / laser tag facility.
Okay.
So basically we have the hall space and they don't close. So, I mean, during the nighttime, we'll be able to run the night battle for, as late as we want. Or if you friends and family want to show up, they'll be able to go bowling and whatever downstairs. And we got a couple bars, and we'll actually have a private bartender inside the event.
Oh, nice.
In the hall or whatever where we're playing. And so.
You don't have any other events besides Age of Sigmar 40K this year?
Not this year, and it's something that I really wanted to add, and we might still, if for some reason things open up a little bit better, the venue hall stuff, we have ours taken care of where we're at, and to be honest, it kind of exceeded my expectations or I was being very frugal, or at least in terms of not wanting to overcommit for the first, event. And then basically it blew up more than I thought it would in terms of popularity. So we're basically we're already pretty much at capacity for the event. It's not going to be completely crazy, but I just don't have any more room for more events yet. Unless I change venues. And so that's kind of been our limitation. And, but there leaves plenty of opportunity for the next year or shortly after, depending on how this all plays out. But yeah, there's a ton of other events we want to add between, a narrative, a team event, bolt action, a few other things like that. So definitely in the works.
Okay. Yeah. So, is it on, where can they find the information for that if they're interested in?
The best way to find it is if you search on Facebook, there's a Shark Weekend Gaming Events. It'll pop right up. It should also be either shared or linked on Hammerhead Games Facebook page. And then the other way is you could always just reach out to me either through Hammerhead's website on the Facebook page or directly. That's always a good way. And then or email or smoke signal or 15 other ways, I'm sure. it should be pretty easy for people to find. We're always sharing stuff, especially when this starts picking back up a little bit more. I think currently, I'm not tooting and blowing horn kind of thing, but there's just a ton of stuff that's going on. We have a ton of sponsors. I think we actually have more sponsors than we have tickets left for right now. prize support's just going to be bananas. There's going to be swag bags. You get catered lunch on Saturday. That's part of your ticket cost.
Right.
There's a bartender inside the event all the entire time. We're running a charity raffle that's going to benefit tableware charities. So there's just a ton of stuff going on there. We got commission painters that are donating models for that. There's going to be just crazy amounts of stuff. So,
okay.
If you're there for the swag and the stuff, you're going to get taken care of. If you're there for drinking, good times and fun. You're there taken care of. If you're just there to be competitive 40K, we got that too. So, yeah, it should be a good time.
Okay, so recent events, obviously, have put a damper on a lot of the competitive scene so far.
Sure.
And I know you're organizing a group of small businesses that basically cater to 40K or to gaming, like, in general. Gaming.
Right,
in,
like the war gaming groups, basically.
Yeah.
So anybody that does stuff like I do, like third-party manufacturers, retail stores, TOs that run their own private events because they're kind of like their own business in a sense, just anything like that. And basically, anybody that's in our niche hobby but also a small business owner or that's affected by this.
So is there any like specials or anything you have going on right now?
Yeah, so just as of yesterday, we just launched a new sale, I guess is the best way to put it, but it's basically a fundraising campaign. So the way it works is that with a coupon code, you're going to put that in and you're going to save 10% for yourself. And then additionally, 15% of the sale will go to any friendly local game store of your choice. You just put it in the notes of the sale, and then we reach out and contact them, and they get a cut. So basically, it works out to be 25% off of the sale in total in terms of what the sale is to me, and then 15% goes to the store, and 10% is cheaper for you.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's been really good. We actually, I once again did not anticipate this to be as big as it was. I don't know if I'm just like being... I'm not like, I just need to like, I guess, expect the world or something, but it's been it's really humbling, honestly, to see a lot of people reach out and specifically want to help what stores are helping them or have helped them in the past with, you know, right, being a good store. And so we're kind of flooded. I'm seeing my foreseeable future basically be taken care of with that, so that's good. And then, but yeah, I've already contacted all of the stores that have been involved. I believe last count was, I want to say, 15 different stores so far.
Oh, wow.
A lot of them with multiples to, you know, the same ones. And I've reached out to all of them. I believe there's only one or maybe two that I'm just waiting on, you know, the exact details to send them over their money. But everything's already been taken care of that way.
And this sale isn't basically until further notice, or is it only for...
It's until further notice in terms of we're basically waiting for once the shelter-in-place rule is lifted for the country... we'll stop doing it.
Okay.
Or at least that's the plan. I'm keeping it vague only because I just want to make sure everyone's taken care of as well as we can with this. Right. So I don't want to like say, oh, on this date, and then come to find out we have another 2 years of this or something.
You're very optimistic.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, I hope it ends soon. I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously I want everyone to be safe, so we'll see how that goes, but we're just going to keep it running as long as we can and do what we can while this is all happening, because the stores they're not able to do business. And if they are, it's limited. And we want to see if there's not stores available when this is all over, like that's going to hurt the hobby in general. And if less people are playing, then less people are able to get stuff. And, you know, so there's my selfish interest in it in terms of wanting to make sure everybody's out there and taken care of so we can go back to the hobby boom that it was right before all this.
I'm just curious for right now. Do you run the business? Do you have like a warehouse or something where you run the business out of, or are you like most people that run it out of your garage?
Yeah. So we were funny story. As of April 1st, we actually had a lease ready and signed, and we were moving forward to move into our a bigger location and actually have like a full time shop, and that was the plan. 2020 was going to be our year. But
I think it was going to be a lot of people's year.
Yeah. So that was, we had that all figured out, and, luckily/unluckily, I was able to back out of that right before all of the craziness, in terms of like being able to limit the overhead so that I can survive through all this. But yeah, I mean, the plan is basically we're on hold with that until things pick up again. And so as soon as they do, the plan is for us to take a week or two and move everything over and get that. And, I also had a new machine on the way, and I was able to put that on hold for a little while and things like that. So we did have big expansion plans in terms of, like, as soon as this is able to kind of get somewhat back to normal, we plan on getting to a bigger shop space and doing that. And because, I mean, I'm in our garage right now, but I'm way overgrown in terms of, I should have moved out of this a year ago, to be honest, but last time we talked. But yeah, it's been a balance of trying to, you know, as a small business, you're always trying to, like, balance that overhead and keep things going, and you want to be able to, like, keep your costs low so that you don't, that doesn't translate to higher prices or anything else like that. And so we were at a point where, like, it's just, okay, look, we obviously can't continue in this small of a space. But for right now, we're just, you know, like everybody else, we're just making do until this is over, and then we'll carry on with our great expansion plans and move forward then. So probably in the next few months or later in the year, we'll be able to do that.
Okay. In regards to the Shark Weekend, has there been any like hiccups or anything like that you can relate to, people that want to maybe do something like this?
We haven't had, I mean, besides, you know, a pandemic, we haven't had any real hiccups. So
let's hope it's not still going on.
I think if it is by August, that we'll probably have bigger worries than whatever this would be. So, I think that's really been our biggest one. But I mean, organizing an event is always challenging, in terms of just trying to, it's all about balance, like with anything else. And you want to get as much of the prize support and the behind the scenes, like terrain and just swag bags and everything logistically organized before that. But at the same time, a lot of it's predicated on ticket sales, and a lot of it's, you know, trying to determine how many people you're going to have and how many you really do with drops and things like that. So I think the biggest challenge is just trying to, you know, kind of find that balance on that, where you're not overcommitting, but at the same time, you're making sure everything's taken care of, because, you know, if you're not prepared when you run an event, you're going to hear about it. And then if you, it's really hard to make sure that you are. And so that's just where it's at. Even though this is our first one, it's not really my first one in terms of, like, running bigger events. So, I'm lucky in that regard of having some experience, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge in that. So anybody that has any questions or wants to run some events and wants some pointers or tricks or any of that kind of stuff, I'm no expert, but at the same time, I'm happy to help. So if they want to reach out and see what that looks like, we can do that for sure.
So we talked about the plans for the terrain, your event, your expansion, your growing empire.
Yes.
Is there any other products that you can talk about that you have plans for, or any things you would like to do? that means yes.
Yeah, I do have some really cool stuff that's coming. I do have I have to be a little bit tight about it in terms of you know, what we can talk about, but. As always, great things are coming. We're constantly trying to push the envelope of what we can do and come up with new products and come up with new ideas and work with people and that's always just happening. Especially, you know, now things are a little crazy, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stop planning for the future. I do have some stuff, but I it's just not ready to be talked about, unfortunately. Not to be big or to, you know, ruin this segment, but I can't.
So. You have to divulge all your secrets, Tony.
All right. Tune in next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah, it'll be soon, and it'll be worth it. It's a big leap, and it's not, like, unfortunately, there is a business aspect to this, so basically there's a little bit of, like, the, you know, competition or whatever else, and just trying to, you know. But when it, in due time, you know, you'll see it, I'm sure it'll be put out, and we'll blast it on the internet.
You should do, like, Rumor Engine, like GW does.
Yeah, I'll just, like, take corner picture with, like, my old flip phone from my, you know, and see if I can
just take a picture of, like, colored acrylic, and that's it. There's nothing on it. Just a piece of acrylic.
And they're like, what is that? You're like, it could be anything. It's totally for Zinc.
Exactly.
They're like, I don't know. That's definitely the same color purple that Necrons use.
Any advice for anybody that does want to do their own event, like something that you may have not anticipated before when planning your event?
I think the biggest thing, and it's the hardest, is that just you need to have all your stuff handled almost before you even tell anybody about it. So in terms of, like, you need to have a location kind of sorted out. It's okay to ask around and find out where it would work. And sometimes when you're running a smaller event, that could just be at your local store. But if you're in terms of, like, trying to run an event maybe of a GT or bigger size that may not work in your local store if they're too small or don't have the space for it or whatever, kind of shop around and find something that works and do some math and start looking, okay, if I do, you know, get this spot for X amount of dollars for this weekend, then, you know, what does that look like on a per ticket basis? You know, if I'm expecting 30 people and it costs $3,000, well, that's probably not a great event because your tickets are going to have to be a minimum of $100 with no prizes and no anything. So that's just not going to work, you know. So there is a financial side to it that you got to have in row. But more importantly, just like start collecting terrain, start having stuff set aside, talk to your buddies that have terrain, talk to the stores that have it. You know, see what you can borrow, what people can contribute, and that way it's not the night before the event and you're gluing styrofoam together and you're hoping that it turns into an L shape for whatever, you know. And, I just think that having terrain and stuff figured out, and, to be honest, there's a lot of people that are running events and there's a lot of things that are out there, and if you don't come correct, you're probably going to not do it again. So,
going to show up.
Yeah, I just think that, like, and to be honest, like, as both a consumer as well as, like, I think that's great. I mean, I think it's good to have a little bit of competition as far as who's running events. I think it's good to have that quality set higher so that you can make sure that the terrain is actually up to par, because people want to have a nice experience. If you're devote an entire weekend, you know, generally out of town or traveling to as of many vacations, mm-hmm. You don't want to show up and have it be on bad terrain. You know, you want to have nice terrain. You want to have a nice experience. You know, you don't want to anyway. So I just think that would be the one thing as somebody that wants to run an event it seems obvious, but at the same time, just like have it all sorted out ahead of time. And if it means you got to wait a little bit longer, that's fine. You know, I mean, anything you rush into is just going to be a problem.
On that same vein, for someone that's either starting a small business or wants to start a small business, what advice would you give to start with that? If you're going to start a small business or start any type of business, what would you advise?
I think that it's kind of it's going to come off negative, but I think the biggest advice I have is it'll cost twice as much as you think it will to start. You'll make half as much as you think you will whenever your empire is built. And at the same time, if that's not worth it for you, then it's probably not the right choice. So if you're looking at, like I said, it comes off as negative, but it's totally not. Mm-hmm. Just what it boils down to is being more prepared than what you think you probably, you know, if you do the math and you're sitting there writing it all down, okay, I need X for this, I need X for that. Just double that. And if you can still do it, then great. And that's probably true. Because there's always, you know, for example, I have a business license for the federal government, the state government, the county government, the city government, and probably three other governments I don't know about. And they all want a license and a permit and a, you know, thing like that. So that, not to be, like I said, totally not to be negative, but like those are the things that, you know, maybe you'll find out along the way that you'll need and you're going to have expenses for it and things like that. I personally do this more for the fact that I enjoy it, and it's not something like I'm not going to be driving a Maserati anytime soon. It's not for money. It's in terms of that, you know, obviously I want to make as much as I can to help my family and to, you know, support it that way and put food on my table. But at the same time, it's not going to ever get me rich, you know, per se. It's just a matter of, I do it because I love it. I get to work around my hobby and I get to enjoy the community and, you know, play games and do all that kind of stuff. So that, to me, that's part of my payment, you know, in a way. So I get to travel to a bunch of events all over the country whenever things are normal, and that's a huge great thing. You know, I love seeing all my friends at all the different events, and I met a lot of people, and I think that's the biggest reward there, as cliche as that all is. So, it's definitely what it is. So.
What about in regards to expand? Let's say I already have a business and I wish to expand. With any advice in terms of expansion? As not counting, don't do it in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, there's that. That's huge. That's I would put that as rule one, but it's kind of like this. It doesn't happen every once a century. So, or I guess if we're millennials or whatever, it's twice in 20 years. But I think expansion is the hardest, and I'm still trying to figure it out. I think other people have figured it out a little bit sooner than I have, in terms of, not maybe for laser cutters or whatever, but there's lots of people that are doing really well, and they figured out how to expand, and getting employees is tough, and adding those expenses into it and balancing it. For me, it's a little hard to relinquish some control in terms of like how I make everything, and having someone like, here you go, you do it, and then it's really hard not to micromanage or to correct or do everything like that, when in reality they're doing just fine. And so I think I'm still learning that process and trying to expand that way. The most dangerous time for a small business is when they try to make the leap from like a sole proprietor to having employees and having a bigger facility and things like that. Right. If you go too fast, you're going to overwhelm yourself with bills. If you go too slow, then you're, losing potential sales and productivity and things like that. So it's definitely this like teeter totter of like trying to go as fast as possible while also being as frugal and responsible as possible. So, when I figure it out, I guess I'll let you know. And then
Yes, I'm sure once your vast empire expands,
sure,
you're like, I know how to do it all the time.
Yeah, I'll write a book, it'll be great.
Sure. Any last thoughts or any last advice? I know there's other businesses. I'm trying to interview other businesses. I interviewed Squad Marks earlier and yourself today.
Cool.
Any message for anybody out there, whether they own a small business or that you want them to buy from another third-party business or things like that?
Yeah, for all the other businesses out there, especially in the gaming community, like, hang tight, man. I hope you guys are doing good and at least as well as can be. And it's tough right now, but it's almost over. It's got to be. So, or hopefully it is. It's a tough one right now. There's not as much help out there when it comes to small businesses. It's not just a woe is me or a whiny thing. Like, there really is just a lack of infrastructure and help for those guys, I know I've applied for pretty much everything possible and they're just not happening. So I don't know, I hope everyone makes it through, and I want to see everybody on the other side, and that's why we're doing what little stuff that we can to try to throw a couple dollars here and there and make it work and support each other. The gaming community is just epic. It's great. I know that we all complain about that guy or whatever at tournaments and all that, but that there's 99 other people at that same event that are awesome and you look forward to seeing and all that. So, I'm really looking forward to getting back to that and making it all work. And hopefully that happens sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Just a reminder, it's hammeredheadgames.net, and you can also find the information for the Shark Weekend at the end of August. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night and a pleasant tomorrow.